Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We're back. Final hour has arrived. We appreciate all of you being here, and you've continually heard us talk about the state of the NIL. The collectives are really where the action is today, and David Ubben, our friend from The Athletic, joining us now to talk a little bit more about it. And in David's latest piece, he writes, it's the end of college football as we know it. That's a play on a pretty famous song, but he feels good. David, thank you. I'm glad you feel good, because there are a lot of people who are not so certain about what is next. You've been writing about this a long time now, since last July and even beforehand. Give us the lay of the land as you see it.
Well, I think ultimately it's a lot of upheaval. It's a lot of change. It's a lot of norms that have been broken, a lot of things that people are not used to in college sports. But basically, all of those norms and all those things and all those changes have equaled into a more fair and equitable system of college football for the individual. Now, what does that mean for competitive balance? What does that mean for the future? These are all interesting questions that I don't have the answers to. But I do know that college football is not doing the kinds of things that it did previously, where it was, you know, limiting what players could do and making millions of dollars for a scholarship and a degree, especially when you have players being herded into a lot of times not very valuable degrees. So that's where things stand right now.
It's interesting, David, once again today, anytime you get a group of college administrators together, they opine, and today they're concerned, they want to walk this back and do this and do that, and Bob Bowlesby's quoted somewhere saying, you know, we should have done more last summer. I mean, it feels like we've been on this merry-go-round for a long time, David. Should we take any stock or believe anything that the people that are supposedly in charge of this sport are currently saying?
I mean, I don't think so, because it doesn't seem like they have a plan. It seems like they're still sort of grasping at a previous world of college football that doesn't exist anymore, that can't exist anymore. And so ultimately, you know, you could have this thing and you want to, you know, change and not allow these collectives to pay as much money as they want to. But ultimately, I'm skeptical that you're going to be able to do anything about it. You know, I saw Ross's report earlier today about, you have a situation where, you have a task force, which obviously solves all of our problems, trying to limit booster and recruit contact. But again, this goes back to the Alston case that we've been talking about for a year plus. I don't see how that's anything other than limiting compensation for players. And this is going to put you right back in court where the NCAA, you know, has not done well. So I think ultimately you have to devise a plan that makes sense for the future, that is also fair to players, that doesn't cap their ability to move or their ability to earn money. And, you know, the idea that you're going to try to rein in collectives, I think, is devoid of reality. And again, it's a pipe dream grasping for a bygone era, frankly, Paul.
As someone who's written so much about these collectives, David, they're upset that the boosters are now involved, as if the boosters weren't involved before last July 1st. So now they're just, boosters now are just calling up players and conducting negotiations. But I find it interesting that everybody's upset about that, but don't coaches do the same thing when they're bouncing from Oklahoma to Southern Cal?
No, Paul, because if anyone leaves a job for more compensation, that's terrible and it's the end of society. I know you've never done anything like that. I swear I've never done anything like that. I'm sure everyone listening and watching would never, ever leave a job for a better situation and better money. So if college athletes are going to do the same thing, then obviously demonizing them is the only answer, I think, Paul. So, again, I think there's just such a narrow focus, and people want to see college athletics as something different than the real world. And if you apply real world sensibilities to college athletics, the facade and the mirage of the insanity of the entire operation, which the Supreme Court obviously saw right through, it falls away in a hurry.
And David, I mean, it sounds almost prosaic to say, well, where are we going and what's going to happen next? Because I don't think anybody really knows, but what is the timeline now, other than these ridiculous statements that administrators are making today about trying to rein in and doing all these things that got us here in the first place? What is the next step, if they're assuming there even is one with all this conversation?
Well, there's been a growing sect in collectives, and there's a conservative brand of collective that says, we're not going to get involved in this recruiting game. We're not going to do these quote-unquote NIL deals that are basically pay for play in spirit. So we're not going to do that. We're going to save our NIL money for players on campus, and you know they could advertise for local businesses and sort of do what I think the NCAA had in mind when they established NIL. And then you have the aggressive collectives that we've seen, obviously, at Texas A&M, at Tennessee. Oregon's been doing some of this as well. Miami, of course, that says, hey, no, we're going to pay big money. We want to get talent on our campus. We want them to know that they can make this money. And the question has been, well, for the aggressive ones, is there a reckoning coming? Is there a way that they're going to be punished? For a while, you'd heard some debate. But ultimately, you know, more and more of these conservative collectives have come aboard and said, we have to do this. We can't compete. And we'll see what the impact of this task force is and if that happens. But I have a growing sense that this idea that a reckoning is coming, and that if you've been too aggressive, you're risking eligibility and you're risking all these things. I just don't know how much of that is going to be able to be enforced. And maybe you try to enforce that, and when you do, you end up back in court where we've talked about, Paul, the NCAA has had a pretty rough history with these kinds of issues. And I don't know that they're going to have much luck, trying to beat their head against the same wall that they keep hitting.
No, I mean, there's 1,000 cliches, toothpaste in the jar. I mean, all these things that just don't work. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. And they let it out. They admit it. They should have done more. They could have done this. They're getting what they deserve, aren't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, again, you know, I wrote about this in the piece in The Athletic, but I think ultimately if you adopt some common sense moves, you know, over the last 20 years, you probably don't have this sort of rapid sea change and the kind of anger behind some of this that obviously I've written about, because there's never been a good reason why players could not capitalize on their name, image, and likeness. And if you had enacted some policy 15 years ago, you might have been able to put some quote-unquote guardrails in and not have this sort of free-for-all. Now, I don't think that would have been right or fair, but it certainly would have been more palatable for a lot of people, and it would have been more fair, a step in the right direction, where you don't have all this change in 18 months that you could have eased into over 15 or 20 years. But they didn't want that. Probably wanted to keep things exactly how they were. And despite the fact that you could see this wave collecting and coming for the last decade, that this was going to happen eventually, and now it happens. And we've seen over the last 6 months, we've seen the collectives intensify. 18 months or so, you know, we've kind of seen with transfers, and then of course almost a year now we've seen with name, image, and likeness. All these things have happened at once, and they're not prepared. And so now all you have is collectives sort of trying to amass a war chest and be able to play this game that didn't exist a year and a half ago. And some places are doing it better than others.
David, thank you. Great reporting, as always, as the beat goes on yours and in reality. David Ubben joining us from The Athletic. We're heading to the break. More of your phone calls right now at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back. Jim is next.
Well, I heard you got real chummy with your chummy buddy, your thug, house thug, Legion. And I want to tell you, Paul. He says I'm a judge, and he says judge not lest you be judged. But I don't know how much if any spiritual discernment you have. I don't know anything about what you have. And I really am not a judge. None of us can be a judge. Only the Lord Himself is the judge, and He's the final judge. But I can tell you this, or I can ask you this: do you believe that that guy is free of judgmentalness toward me? I mean, he's saying that I'm judging him. Is he not judging me?
Now, you're questioning whether he's questioning.
Is he not judging me? But is he not being?
I just want you to follow this for 1 second. Legend is questioning your judgment of me, right? Now you are asking me to judge Legend's judgment of you. I can't do that.
No. All I'm asking you is this. Listen again. Listen close. He blatantly judged me, said I had a log in my eye. That's judging me. I'm asking you, do you believe he's not judging me by doing that?
Well, I mean, the way you lay it out, it's possible that he is, yes.
Oh, but it's emphatically true that I judge him. Is that the way it works?
Well, I am not the judge here.
You can give an opinion, Paul.
Here's the danger of that. It's like going in front of the Senate and giving an opinion on.
No, you got common sense. You know he's a thug, he's a hater, he's a traitor, he's a Judas, a backstabber. I was a friend of his, never did him wrong. Then he comes in here and trashes the hell out of me, wrongly. And you're telling me I'm the one that's wrong.
What was his phone call a judgment of you? Then the answer would have to be yes.
Well, that's getting somewhere.
Okay. I mean, I hate to be some have to play semantics about
it. Laugh it up with him. What?
Well, Jim, I view each call on its own merit. I don't carry over from your call to his call. He's his own entity when he calls in.
I want to ask you something. You think he's better than me now? I know I don't talk what you want
I mean,
me talking
now,
about. Now.
Now you're asking me to be Solomon here. I mean, you want me to, you know, cut the baby
in
half?
Well, aren't you? You got more of a chance of doing that than I do because you're a Jew.
You're a Jew? I mean,
you're a Jew, and Solomon was a Jew.
Ooh. I'm not sure I can answer that one. I mean, now that you've painted this broad brush of all Jews.
That's the best comment I ever gave you, Paul.
What's that? Okay. That was a compliment, right?
Well, I mean, Jesus was a Jew. You're a Jew. Solomon was a Jew. Yeah, you got a good, better chance of being a judge like Solomon than I do. I'm just a Gentile.
Well, I don't want to be judgmental of anyone.
I just tell you this, Paul. You better be sure from the Lord above whether you're going to heaven. I think He can let you know. That's all I can tell you. But don't put stock on what Legion tells you. Because there ain't no truth
Jim,
in that guy.
Let me say this to you, okay? My relationship with the Lord is based on my feelings and my heart, not on what Legend tells me here on this program.
Well, thank you for saying that. I hopefully hope that you're sincere.
Well,
in what
Jim, I have to ask you this back. Why would I not be sincere about that? Why would I just say something?
By the statement you made previous to what we're talking about a while ago with Legion, you said, "Oh, now you feel better because he told you what he told you about you going to heaven."
I have avoided discussing religion, but I think maybe you know this, maybe you don't. I mean, I have a deep personal relationship, but it's not something I talk about very often.
With
the Lord.
Well, I pray and hope you're sincere about that. But you actually
Jim, I just got through saying it, and now you're questioning it. I mean, that's preposterous.
No, it's not preposterous when I see your actions don't line up with what you say.
But, Jim, I've got really bad news for you here. You are not the judge.
That's right. I'm not. You're right. I'm not the judge. But you know what?
Jim, this is something we need to continue this conversation. I don't think we can resolve it. I mean, I'm interested in what you have to say. I want you to know that.
I tell you what, I'd love to get the Archbishop back on and let's just mediate this. And we could have a fruitful conversation.
And you're right about it. I once had a 3.5-hour conversation with him over lunch. They pretty much closed the restaurant down. And it was about faith, I'm very curious about faith. You know that. I've had many friends throughout the years who are clergy, and I am always inquisitive because I don't have the answers. But I think you still like
watching and listening to Joel Osteen.
I do, and the person that turned me on to Joel Osteen was my wife, who is a big believer. She subscribes to all his stuff, and I mean, I feel like we get something from Joel Osteen every day at our house.
And listen to him on Sunday or watch him on Sunday?
And by the way, speaking of my wife, which I don't do very often, but she's very religious, and you know where she got it from?
Where?
Her grandmother.
Well, you tell her God bless her for me. She sounds like a sweet lady.
Her grandmother was she passed away about 15 years ago, but she was the most spiritual person I've ever known.
Well, I'm getting more hope for you now, Paul, and maybe I mean, really, you see, when you talk things out, sometimes you learn things. Like you said to me earlier today, you learn something about somebody that you never dreamed.
Well, I think you would. Here's what you have to do, though, and I don't mean to be telling you how to run your life. I'm struggling to run my own, but I think you have to have an open mind. That's what I try to do about most things.
You know what? Can I say this? And I'll end it, but I promise you, I give, as the Lord is my witness, I promise you, when I was a young child, Paul, I heard a voice, and I know it was God, and it said, "Have an open mind every day, all your life." That's exactly what I learned when I was a child. Very young child, 5 or 6 years old, and I was taught that, and I've had that open mind. I don't know if you can see it, but I've had an open mind all my life because I knew that was the key. That was the key to knowing the truth and defining the truth. I knew that, so that's phenomenal.
Okay, I feel good about it. I'm leaving this conversation right here feeling much better than it was. But let's continue this.
Can you do one of me a favor?
Sure.
Can you stop trashing me along with your buddy Legion?
I will try to be a human when I give you my word. Now whether
and
I
you
can.
Know what and I'm reminded of what you told me 2 months ago. You remember? You said, "Yeah, Jim, I've been wrong doing that going along with trashing you."
Yeah, I did say
I'll
that.
I'll stop it.
Well,
and you didn't stop it.
We all have our demons, but I will work on that again. How about that?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Joe is up next. So hello, Joe.
Roll Tide, roll, Paul Feinbaum. And you know what? Jim needs to stop trashing other people. I mean, he needs to stop. You know, Satan knows scriptures, Paul. Satan knows scriptures better than most of us do. But you know what? I pray for Jim. I love him as a brother, and I pray for him. But right now, Paul, he's a dipstick-licking, chicken-smooching, phony fool. That's all he is. And that's all, you know, and I pray that he will the one day accept the good Lord. But when long as he's out here trashing people and wanting to get you to take up for him, but don't let this person talk bad about me. Thought, I've had people talk bad about me. I ain't never called you and said, will you tell that person to quit talking bad about me? I mean, does he know how childish this sounds, Paul? And I'll be honest, I'd rather stick my face in a pile of cow crap and blow bubbles than listen to Jim talk. But I mean this in love. I pray for the man. I pray for this food, Paul. I hope he would accept Christ one day. And I do like Joel Osteen. I also like Robert Jeffries.
Now, who is he? I don't know him.
Him too.
I'll have to check him out.
Oh, he's good, Paul. He's real good. You know, he preaches the truth. So does Joel Osteen. You know, Joel Osteen gave his life, you know, to help other people.
What Joel does is he makes it very simple. Some people don't like that. I have friends who are in ministry that think it's too simplistic. But I tell you, another guy I listen to, and it's obviously he's dead. But there is a Billy Graham channel. I don't know if you've ever heard it on satellite radio that I think is fantastic.
I do, Paul. I listen to that every day. I do.
But I would say this to you, not that we're doing lists of the best ever, but I would say in Reverend Graham's prime, I don't think anybody could touch him.
No, they couldn't, Paul. They couldn't. And hey, I mean, he would fill stadiums and they would come down by the thousands, you know, in repentance and accepting the Lord. They would.
And, okay, yeah, well.
But
well,
hey, Paul.
Go ahead.
I took a cognitive test yesterday.
A cognitive test? How did you do? I'm afraid to ask.
I aced it, Paul. I aced it.
Did you have any Cliff Notes, or did you take it legitimately?
It was a surprise. It was a surprise cognitive test.
Well, I'm really glad to hear that, Joe. You keep it at that. Miss Pat is back on the show.
Hey, Paul. I just have to make this comment. God cares about what's in your heart, and what's in your heart determines how you treat other people. And when you continuously are angry and mean to other people, that is not God's plan for you. And that's all I had to say. And it was good to hear Joe. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Pat. Good to have Pat back. I feel better. Guys, this has been a good night. Maybe we should just end it right here and go home. But we're not. We're here for 30 more minutes. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Back on the program, and Larry is up next. Hello, Larry.
Hey, my man. Good show, man. You know, Jim and all, we getting into all that. But anyway, I didn't know you was a Gentile. I did not know that. I thought that was a private part. But I just trying to make something out of just ridiculous, man. God is your savior, man. And it's personal. You know, I don't have to ask God if Satan said something about me. I don't worry about what God thinks about me. Nobody else. Like today, I seen God with a blowout. He's about my age, 74. Go over and help him. I had a hell of a time getting that tire on. But I felt good when I walked off. It's just like if I see somebody that needs something, I give them something. It makes you feel good. And that's what you should feel.
How is your health these days, Larry? How's your heart doing? You feeling better?
Yeah, that guy was 74 and I'm 73. He had to stand on the left green to get on my lug nuts off. Yeah, man, it's doing better, Paul. I'm just, you know, blessed. You know that, man. I've been through a lot in my heart and all. But thank God, football, man. Ain't you glad we coming up on it?
I sure am. I can't wait.
Whew. But anyways, I just getting back to football. All the people that call this show, nobody gets on my nerves worse than a lawyer because he wears his collars real tight to keep his foreskin coming up his neck. Because I just cannot stand that dude.
You don't like Augie, huh?
I mean, got to keep him off the show.
Who else don't you like, Larry? Who should we ban?
He should be. He's a nerd. And he's talking about Bama. Hey, look, come on, man. It's a good game. Georgia won the big prize, and we didn't. Okay. This is a new season, man. And I'm proud. But this money changing hands stuff going to get rough. I don't think it's going to work. Because there's going to be players out there that ain't got crap. There's going to be players out there that's got a couple hundred grand that ain't going to work. I don't care what anybody. Do you think it's going to work seriously in your heart?
I think it depends on the leadership in your team. I think a lot of schools with weak leaders will not be able to manage it.
No. This day turn into a free-for-all mess. And I know your show, the people you have on, Brando, I love Brando. He'll mix it up with your ass. He don't mind getting on here and slapping you around, you know. And that's what I like about the callers, you know, when you let them take calls. But you don't do that no more. But Brando's a good caller. I don't know where your show needs nothing. It just needs people to get realistic and get with football and know that Alabama's the best, and that's the way it is. And Georgia's sucking hind tits, and we always going to be number one. And Darryl said, okay, Saban may win one more championship. Then he turns around and says he'll probably retire. He just said he's going to win another championship. I mean, that guy, I love him, man. He's goofy. That's Captain Goofy. But anyways, hey, I love you taking my call, man. God bless you. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Larry.
Carlson.
Jeff is up next. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing well.
I will, before, you know, come back on. Every time he calls in, he's always calling somebody a fool. I'm by no means a man that, you know, that tells somebody what they need to be doing or not be doing. But the Bible says, Matthew 2, that a man calling that he's in danger of hellfire. He needs that verse.
Yeah, that's right.
And one other thing, then I'll shut up and go on. I don't think I would want to hang my eternal destination on what legend taught. I don't know if it's been a good show today. I've been trying to listen to it, but Jim needs to he needs to read what he claims he knows. But you have a good day, Paul.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate that. Charles is up next. Charles, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
We are well. Thank you.
I was just reminding legend that there are other teams in the Super Elite Conference besides Alabama, and Alabama's not going to win every year. As a matter of fact, if he wants to put 50 on it, I say they don't even win the West this year.
Really?
Really. Everything comes to an end, Paul. Barry Bryant, he came to an end. I mean, everything ends sooner or later, and I just believe Bama's time is up.
Well, you do understand they have a really good team coming back next year, don't you? Best quarterback and the best defensive player in the country.
Yes, I understand, but I also, Kirby found a secret to beat them with not that great of a quarterback.
Yeah.
So, if Kirby can do it, Jimbo can do it, Lane can do it, all the rest can do it.
Well, I will just have to wait and see if you're right. Hey, thank you very, very much. Maurice is in Georgia. Maurice, you are on the air.
Hey, Paul.
Thank you.
How you doing, Paul?
We're doing great, Maurice. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Well, I'm calling because I hear a lot of people talking about my quarterback, Stetson Bennett. Let's get one thing together on this. Why do a quarterback who was a walk-on, wins a championship, still gets no credit?
Well, I think he has gotten credit. Well, I don't understand that.
Everybody that calls your show, oh, he's a not great quarterback, as the last caller just said. Then legends say he ranks from number six. He's a walk-on. Didn't he just beat y'all? You know? And from my understanding, Stetson Bennett also was the one that helped Georgia prepare for Oklahoma the year they beat them.
Now that is true.
Am I correct?
You are correct.
You know, and I just hate how they underrate him, which is a good thing because that just means this year they're going to underrate him again, and he's possibly going to do the same thing. Possibly. You know, and I just hate how they don't give the Georgia quarterbacks no credit for a guy who had no stars coming in, or I'm putting it like this, had no high stars. And to do what he did, he should get more credit than they're giving him. You know, legend, he's still venting. Why? This is a sport that plays every year. You got another year to stake your case. Don't vent on it for a whole year. You lost. You know, us Georgia fans, we've been waiting 40 years.
Hey,
and
Maurice,
once we finally get it.
Let me ask you one thing before you. We've got a pretty famous Alabama caller waiting. Is there any, who refuses to acknowledge that Georgia won? Do you have any final parting shots to him before he comes on?
Beware of the dog.
Beware of the dog. Hey, thank you. You got that, Jerome?
Man, I don't give a damn about no dog. You hear me? They dog just had their moment, fine bone. Y'all bask in it. Y'all have fun. I told you, man, that we live in a world where everybody get a moment. Everybody get the sunshine on the Marin out there in fine bone. You hear me? I'm just living in the shade. The shine, sun shining on you, at least from what Jim's saying, you going to hell, ain't you?
That's what he said.
Yeah, how in the world, fine bone? You know what, man? When you get to hell, they going to tell you, man, get off and down with that damn fool. You hear me? So you're going to get down there talking about welcome to the fine ball show. Everybody in hell want ice water. You down there talking about welcome to the damn fine ball show. You hear me?
I will tell you one thing, Jerome. If that's where I end up going, what? I will see a lot of friends there.
You won't see me.
I didn't say I would see you, but I know a lot of people that I'll visit with if I get there.
Well, a lot of y'all devils are probably going to be down there. Y'all just going to meet your damn family. That's all. Go on, meet your family. Listen, I see that you talking about they're going to form a task force. For what? You know, they talking about the people in charge of college football. You don't know what they're saying. They're saying something every year, fine bone. You hear me? Georgia just said something. You know, they was in charge this year. Alabama said something. They was in charge. Let me tell you something. We're just going to be honest with you. See, they need a task. They need to form a realist task force. Just put me the head of it. I'm just going to tell y'all the honest to God truth. You hear me? From Georgia and Alabama. You know, other than your damn two playoff teams, you cut turn around and grab the 123 teams, and y'all damn kick rock. Y'all ain't was doing that. Y'all talking about the NIL. Y'all bragged about the NIL all summer long. Oh, they're going to make it even. They're going to make it even. Now your ass are crying. You hear me? Crime won't help you now. I don't know what's stop the damn crying, but guess what, though? Crying in Alabama, it don't mix. You hear me?
Hey, Jerome, allow me to ask you one question before we wrap this up. As you know, we were in Vegas last week. What did you think about Georgia dominating and owning the draft?
Well, Sam, like I told you, man, everybody get a moment. They got 15 people drafted. Y'all,
They got more than a moment.
They're going to be just like the Alabama player. Hell,
I mean, Jerome, LSU had more people than Bama drafting.
Fine bones, so what, fine bum? I tell you, man, everybody get their little moment. Everybody. Listen,
LSU already had a moment. They won the championship.
Well, can you be quiet and listen for 1 second? Can you do that? Listen, Alabama like a damn basketball court, fine bum. We got stability. We ain't going no damn well. Everybody else a damn basketball. Y'all bounce around, roll around, hop around, jump around. But one damn play, they're going to put your ass on the rack and get the hell out of here. Now, you ain't doing nothing in college football, but we run this damn thing. Hell bless they. Period.
Okay. I plan on it. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.